We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask again that you guide us as we meditate upon another precious section of the Word which you have given us for the salvation of our souls. And we pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to your Word and give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. One more chance. And time sometimes goes so quickly. We come here to the end of a section. And it was some 3 years before that John the Baptist had urged the people to repent. And the picturesque language that he used was this: "And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Matthew 3, verse 10. So the countdown for the 3 years, the Son of God began his ministry at age 30. And he preached, and he taught, and he healed people, and he moved throughout the whole country, witnessing to the goodness of the Word of God. For the most part, he had been absolutely rejected. And now the time of grace was swiftly drawing to a close. The hours, the minutes, and the seconds were running out. This pressing message to the Jews of Jesus' day is just as pressing for those of us who are living in these final days of earth history as we know it. It's all winding down. And we pray that the Holy Spirit in mercy will give us eyes that can see and ears that can hear. He also spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, and it was planted in the vineyard, in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, but he found none. So you've got a fig tree. You've got a vineyard. And the fig tree and the vineyard go together. The fig tree was planted in the vineyard. It wasn't a wild tree out in the wilderness that didn't belong to anybody. God was in the middle of all this. The Lord God planted the fig tree in the vineyard, in his vineyard. So we've got a problem here, but the problem was not the vineyard, and the problem wasn't the owner, or the problem wasn't the vine dresser. It was the fig tree. It was the fig tree. It was a corrupt tree. And now, in the remaining moments of its existence, the question is, will the fig tree become a good one, or will it remain evil? Will it produce fruit, which is repentance, or will it not? So the vine dresser pipes up. Then said he unto the vine dresser of the vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" So what the Baptist said is about to come true. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, and the man is just about to swing it and cut the tree down. Its seconds are numbered. And It's going to be cast into the fire. But he, the dresser, answered, said to the Lord, Lord, let it alone this year also. Give it one more chance. And until I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. But if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. So the vine dresser pleads one more time. Give it one more chance. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 3 begins this way. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. So now we're on a trial. There's a trial going on. Question, what could have been done more to my vineyard than I have done in it? Wherefore, when I look that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up. All the wild animals can come in. And break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. I've given up on it. I've done everything I could do. Now I'm giving up on it. And we think of Romans 11, verse 12, which is a verse that many of the people of our generation are ignorant of. And it reads this way, Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. So, it's one way or the other. Yes, God is good, but he's also just. And there's a goodness of God and there's a severity of God. And the goodness of God is going to be felt by the bride, the elect chosen one, the very small remnant, who through the grace of the Holy Spirit have been obedient and repentant. And the other one, children of the wicked one, and they will meet the severity of God. It's going to be tough, because he's not going to let up on anything. Every single thing is going, every sin is going to be accounted for. Not going to forget any of it. The goodness and severity of God. So, we've got a fig tree here in the middle of the mess. And when you look at the fig tree in Scripture, there's good news and there's bad news. But it started out pretty bad news. The first reference to a fig tree in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. And you know it well. What is it? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Well, they weren't really aprons. The word can be translated that way, but it can also be translated armor. It's a war picture. They sewed themselves fig leaves together and made themselves armor. Well, who are they fighting against? They were fighting against the one who created them. Because they rebelled against him, they disobeyed him. And now they hear him walking in the cool of the garden, and they know it's not going to go well with them. He's a member of the enemy camp now, or rather they are. They were the ones that deserted. So they ran to this fig tree and cut fig leaves off and made armor for themselves. Now they're ready to go out to battle. They're going out to battle against the almighty, powerful King of God covered with a few fig leaves. What chance do you think they have? And obviously it didn't work. So that was the first reference to a fig tree. And when we think of that particular reference to the fig tree, there's another reference to a fig tree in the New Testament that's impossible to forget. And it's recorded. We looked at it. It's recorded in Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 12. Only this time, instead of Adam going up to the fig tree, it's the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, who goes up to the fig tree. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. He spent the night and the morning, early morning, in a house in Bethany, probably a house of Mary and Martha, and evidently left hurriedly without breakfast. So now he's walking to Jerusalem, couple hours away probably, and he's hungry, and he sees this fig tree that is full of leaves. So on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And he had something to say. He had something to say to that fig tree. Jesus answered and said unto it, "Let no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." And his disciples heard it. Now, one thing we have to realize is that or in the Holy Land, the figs occur on a tree before the leaves. It's just the opposite of the way we usually have it. First come the leaves, then come the apples. Well, here it's first come the figs, and then come the leaves. So if you saw a fig tree in the distance and it didn't have any leaves on it, there was still a chance that there might be figs. It's a 50-50 chance. But if you saw a tree that was a fig tree that was full of leaves, you knew there were figs on there because the figs come first. So the Son of God is hungry. He walks up there, and lo and behold, there's no figs on it. So he puts a curse on it. Let nobody eat any figs from you from here on in forever. And the disciples heard it. Hey, did you guys hear that? He's talking to a tree. Yeah, he's talking to a tree. So then something happened that's very, very important to the whole account. He went into the temple. And he went in there to pray and to preach and teach. It's his father's house. And he walked in there, and he, well, let the Holy Spirit tell it here. And they came to the temple, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers. The money changers? Well, that's a surprise that you'd find money changers in the church. They're not a bank. But they were there, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and he would not allow any man that he should carry any vessel through the temple. And now he taught them. And he taught, saying unto them, "Is it not written, My house shall be called a house of all nations, a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Another version has it, "My house, my father's house. You've made my father's house a den of thieves." And the scribes and the priests heard it. Wouldn't it be nice if we read, and they said, we didn't realize how bad the situation was. Let's repent and let's change our act. Wouldn't it be nice if they said that? But you know they didn't. They sought how they might destroy him. He's giving them the word of God. He's giving them the word of life, the one chance they had of living forever, and they want to kill him. Okay, so then the scribes and Pharisees, after that, the reason why they wanted to, by the way, was because the people were astonished at his doctrine. They'd never heard preaching like this before. This wasn't what they were used to. The truth, word of God. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, now they're going back again, as they passed by, the disciples saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Okay, so now this is not difficult to understand this. The temple was just like the fig tree that didn't have any figs. When you saw the tree, you walked up to the tree, you expected to get something to eat. But you didn't, because there was nothing there. And when you went into the temple, you expect to be fed by the word of God, but there was nothing there except money changers. That's the point. So here, the fig tree is a type, a very active type, accurate, of the visible church. And it's been that way all throughout history. So, fig tree, another reference, just a few more references. We're doing a word study here on fig tree. And the third reference reads this way. It's in Isaiah again, 34 verse 4. And it talks about the destruction of the world. The fig tree is sometimes compared to the destruction of the world. And Isaiah puts it this way, all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll. And the scientists say, well, that can't happen. You got stars that are out there billions of light years away. They could not possibly be rolled together like a scroll. That's what they say. God says it will be. The heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all the hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth from the vine, and as a falling fig from a fig tree. Here's this fig tree again. This small little fig tree is compared to the end of the world and the whole heavens coming down. A fig tree. And then you've got the untimely figs in Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. It's interesting how this fig tree keeps popping up. And a lot of times when it's talking about the final destruction. So in Revelation 6, 12 and 13, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Well, I've never sat under a fig tree when the wind was blowing and the figs came thundering down. But I've been under an apple tree when it happened, and I know what that sounds like. And that's what happens with the fig tree when it's not quite right yet, and the heavy winds come, boom, the figs come down. And it happens very, very quickly. And that's the way it's going to be at the end of the world, with a fig tree again. Shaken with a mighty wind. The word wind and Spirit are the same word, by the way. There's this Holy Spirit's involved in this, by the way. And then finally, the fifth reference is key because the fig tree is connected with not having any pleasure or joy. The vine is dried up. I'm in Joel chapter 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Another thing we learn about hell, there's no joy there. There's no happiness there. Only anger, bitterness. So, okay, but the picture's not all bad either. There are, thankfully, some good references to fig tree. And behold the goodness and the severity of God. And so the first one for me, I would choose as the most comforting and beautiful little section in the whole Bible. And it's Song of Solomon. And you will not find a better definition of the springtime than you find right here in Song of Solomon chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. And it's, my beloved, that's a bride, and her beloved is Jesus Christ. My beloved spake and said to me, you know, there are different things that Jesus has said at the last. Some of them we know. And one of the last thing he's going to say to the wicked ones are the words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. They're going to hear that. The bride is going to hear this. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up. It's a picture of the resurrection, isn't it? Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree, there she is, the fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with a tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. And right in the middle is the fig tree. Right in the middle is the fig tree. There's a picture of sitting under the fig tree. And it's a family picture. Think of how beautiful this is. This is in Micah chapter 4, verse 4. Micah 4, verse 4. This is talking about the afterlife for God's people. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree. They're sitting down, having a conversation. They're not worried about anything. Why? And none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Under the fig tree again, Zechariah 3, verse 10. Zechariah 3, 10. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, he shall call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. You know, it seems like so seldom nowadays compared to when I was little, when you'd see neighbors standing across the fence talking or sitting under a tree and talking, men and women. You see that all the time. Now you hardly ever see it. But here you see it again. And then you've got Nathaniel was under a fig tree. And this is worth reading through. It's in John chapter 1, first chapter of John's Gospel, starting with 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, and this is almost too good to be true, Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip saith unto him, Come and see. So he did. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. This is a real true children of God. This is what a child of God is supposed to be. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? We've never met. Jesus answered, here's this fig tree coming up. Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. The fig tree. When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And what did Nathanael reply? Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. So we can fill in the blanks. What was it, do you think, that Nathanael was doing under that fig tree? Communicating with God, praying with God? It was something that only he knew, and it was extremely important. And he thought he was all alone. Jesus said, You weren't all alone. When you were under there, I saw you. And that was enough to convince Nathanael that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe we have experiences similar to that in our own lives. Times when we thought we were all alone, and we think we're all alone, and we're thinking things through, and all of a sudden it becomes evident that there's somebody else there with us and knows exactly what we're thinking. And that's the Son of God. He does that one-on-one. He does that. And then Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. We're not even started yet. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Okay, so let's wrap this up by asking a few questions and getting some very important answers. Five of them. Number one. Who is the very small remnant? That's key. Because the good fig tree is a type of the very small remnant. And the very small remnant, each one of them, were chosen by God the Father and the Son in eternity past. Well, how did that happen? Well, we don't know how it happened. We just know that it did. And the Father did it, and the Son did it, and the Holy Spirit did it. And all three were together on this. And they chose every single one of the very small remnant back in eternity past. When did it happen? It happened way back then. It wasn't like you were born into the world and then God saw you and thought, oh, you're a pretty nice person, I think I'll choose you. That's not the way it happened. It happened way back in eternity past. And nobody can change it. The devil can't change it. It was settled back by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity past. That's when the love started. It didn't have any start. It was in eternity past. Well, so what purpose was I made alive? What purpose was I made a member of the very small realm then? And the purpose is to honor and glorify the Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's our goal. That's our purpose for existence, the honor and glorifying of God. And how is it going to end? It's going to end with wedding bells. That's how it's going to end. The whole creation, all time has been zeroing in on this wedding bell when the Son of God is going to take his bride, his holy bride, the holy remnant, and be joined together by the Father. He'll give her to the bride, and they'll live happily ever after. And there'll be no end. That's what this is all about. And you can see it in a little fig tree.